Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. Knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important thing in our lives, and we aim to share the true gospel with everyone. Listen with us today as Pastor Scott preaches to his congregation and invites you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can also visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org, that's O-R-G, for more information about our local church. God is good, and Jesus saves all who surrender their lives to him. Amen.
Saturday night, we talked about John chapter 2 and picked up the last few verses of John chapter 2. They really tied directly into the beginning of John chapter 3. So we're going to briefly review that and then look at John chapter 3. So when we ended John 2, the last three verses, starting in verse 23 of chapter 2, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many trusted in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. Jesus, however, would not entrust himself to them since he knew them all, and because he did not need anyone to testify about man, for he himself knew what was in man. And then as we pick up chapter 3, I'm going to read through verse 15 and then we'll come back. There was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you come from God as a teacher, for no one could perform these signs you do unless God is with him." Jesus replied, "I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." "But how can anyone be born again when he is old?" Nicodemus asked him. "Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born?" Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of flesh is flesh. Whatever is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from, where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." "How can these things be?" asked Nicodemus. "Are you a teacher of Israel and don't know these things?" Jesus replied, "I assure you, we speak what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but you do not accept our testimony. If I had told you about these things that happened on earth and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you about things in heaven? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in his name will have eternal life." We're going to stop right there. Last week when we ended, we read those last verses of chapter 2, and it seemed almost like a little bit of an aside from what was going on when Jesus cleansed the temple. But he was preparing us to look into chapter 3. He knew exactly how he was going to bring us into chapter 3. And the question was asked last week, and it was a perfectly good question, about Jesus knowing what was in man. Well, there's a couple of possibilities here. One possibility was that the people wanted a military leader. They wanted someone to deliver them from the Romans. They wanted someone who was going to take the Jewish nation forward and bring them out of their captivity under the thumb of the Romans. But that possibility is probably not really the reason why this statement came about. Jesus knows what is man. More likely, Jesus was referring to man's spiritual condition, to his brokenness, to his sinfulness, to the fact that he was worldly and had been born of flesh, as we see in John chapter 3, but John's statement in chapter 1, verse 29, is probably the real pointed statement that directs the whole gospel of John and brings about what Jesus really came for. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Man's true need is spiritual birth. Not to be delivered from the Romans, but not to be delivered from the problems that this life has to offer. This life has a lot of problems. Everybody in this room and everybody that I know deals with some kind of a life-controlling issue. Some issue in their life that needs to be brought under the spiritual impact of Jesus's work in their heart and life. But it all begins with their rebirth, with their new relationship in Christ. And when we come into chapter 3, we see that Jesus had an encounter with a man named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And he comes to Jesus and says, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can perform the signs that you do unless God were with him." The reason, too, that Jesus rejected the belief system that the people in the end of chapter 2 says is because he knew what was in man. Whether they had a military plan in mind or whether they wanted him to deliver them from the Romans, he knew, and he knows in all of us, he knows in every single one of our lives exactly what is in us, what we believe, what we think, what we want. His desire for us is that we be born again, born anew. We have so many people around us in our world, so many people that we're encountering all the time that do not know the Lord. Jesus makes it clear with Nicodemus, because you notice that Jesus didn't say anything about the fact that Nicodemus said, "We know that you came from God." And it's interesting here too, because it's the plural. Nicodemus came individually, but he stated, "We know that you're a teacher that came from God because you would not be able to perform these signs unless you had come from God. We know who you came from." And Jesus didn't defend himself. He didn't say anything about his authority. He simply stated that, "I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus says exactly what most people that we encounter would say. How can anyone be born again? Can he enter back into his mother's womb? How can he be rebirthed? And Jesus makes it very clear, very clear. You must be born of the Spirit. And I made the point tonight of taking us to the book of Romans to look at some particular verses, because I believe as Christians, many of us do not really know how to encounter somebody and share the gospel in a way that can truly impact their life by explaining to them through Scripture what it means to be born again. What it means to be born again, because we all think we're pretty good people. And the fact is that Romans chapter 3, verse 10 tells us, "No one is righteous, not even one." We consider ourselves to be pretty good people, and I will grant you that. I would rather have an unsaved moral person as a neighbor than an axe murderer. But we all, nonetheless, are not righteous in and of ourselves. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We all have sinned. And it doesn't matter if it's the waitress at the restaurant, or if it's a fellow employee at your job site, if it's somebody else that lives in the same building that you live in, all of us fall short of the glory of God without Jesus Christ. Romans 5:12 tells us, "Therefore, as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death spread to all men because all have sinned." You know, there are some really good evangelists out there that encounter people and try to start a dialogue with people, and they will ask a simple question. "Are you a good person?" "Oh, yes, I'm a good person." "Have you ever lied?" "Well, yeah, it was a little white lie. It wasn't really a bad lie." "Have you ever stolen anything?" "Well, it was only a candy bar." You get the picture. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Anything that we have done that violates the character of God. I love this definition from Dr. Don Davis. He tells us that anything that we think, say, or do that violates the character of God is sin. Roll that around in your head a minute. Anything we think, say, or do that violates the character of God is sin. And Jesus addresses that in the book of Matthew as well, when he said, out of the mouth flow the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So sin is universal. Sin is real. Sin is devastating. Sin destroys lives. We saw that happen this week a couple of different times on the news. And we see that in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about. Born of the Spirit and you will have eternal life. I assure you, he said in John 3:5, I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you, you must be born again. Eternal life, and we're not going to look at that tonight, we're going to look at it next week in John 3:16 and following. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I read this from Andrew Murray, written back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. He said, it is not the purpose of the gospel to give us the gift of eternal life. Rather, it is the purpose of the gospel to bring Christ down from heaven and into us. Because giving us the gift of eternal life, which is absolutely true, we do get eternal life, and John says that in John 3:16. But we get more than eternal life. We get new life. We get a changed life. We get the opportunity to have God work in us to bring about changes in us that only He can do. We can't change who we are. We can all say that I want to be a better person, but then the opportunity comes for us to do something that we should not do, and we're in our closet or we're somewhere where we will not be seen or known, and we go ahead and do what we don't want to do. Paul addresses that very thing in Romans 7. He says, why do I do the things that I don't want to do? It is sin in me. So we see that God's plan for us is a perfect plan, a wonderful, amazing plan for us. And He gives us the promise of eternal life. But He gives us so much more than eternal life. He gives us a changed life. He brings about change in us that only He can do. We're not able to. We think we can. And maybe we will be successful for a time. We'll be successful a number of times in a row. But then something will happen. And when that inconvenient time comes and we hit ourselves in the finger with a hammer, or we stub our toe on the corner of our bed when we walk out of the room in the dark, or we fall on the ice, or whatever it happens to be, all of a sudden, the thoughts and the intents of the heart boil out. They come out because it's what's in our heart. Jesus changes hearts. He changes us to be the person that He desires for us to be. And that's why Romans 5:8 tells us, but God proved His own love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Nobody, literally, absolutely nobody, can change their life to the point where we earn the privilege of knowing Christ. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still broken, while we were still lost, while we were stuck in our addiction, while we were stuck in our life-controlling issue, whether that life-controlling issue is drugs and alcohol, anger, hatred, control issues that we have over other people, things that cause us to recognize that we are lost and undone in and of ourselves. We're not able to do what we want to do. Nicodemus heard this story, and we're going to address it again next week, but because even after we read John 3, most of which is his conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't see in John 3 that Nicodemus actually became a believer. We don't see that he actually accepted the truth of the gospel in this chapter 3. He left that conversation hearing the truth, but not really accepting the truth. And it's an interesting thing when you think about it, because he comes to Jesus in the beginning of the chapter, and he said, we know where you came from. We know that you come from God. We know that no one can perform these miracles, these signs, unless they were from God. So there was an acknowledgement of what Jesus was doing. Acknowledgement of the truth is simply recognizing that, yes, we believe, we accept the fact that Jesus died for us and paid the penalty for our sin, but that doesn't mean that we accept it in our heart of hearts. That doesn't mean that we make it part of our life. The only thing about Nicodemus that we see in the gospel is after Jesus' death, he went with Joseph of Arimathea and put Christ in the tomb and saw to it that he was buried. I'm assuming maybe that at some point Nicodemus did come to faith in Christ, but it doesn't say that. He recognized Jesus for who he was in the fact that he came from God, but it doesn't say that he actually believed, that he actually had faith, saving faith. What Jesus is telling us here through the Gospel of John is that sharing the truth does not necessarily mean that somebody is going to accept the truth. I heard several times from people in my community and where I lived when I came to Christ back in 1973 that told me I needed Jesus. Now, they didn't give me a list of verses like out of the book of Romans. They didn't give me an entire breakdown of the gospel message, but they told me I needed Jesus. And I said, yeah. And I blew them off. But then the Holy Spirit went to work on me. And after a season, I could not fight with him anymore. I could not argue with him anymore. I had to come to Christ as Lord and Savior, because I knew I needed help. And that's what it's going to be like with a lot of people when we share the gospel with someone, that if they don't accept the gospel, that doesn't mean we did it wrong. But the truth is still the truth. And the Spirit of God uses his word to draw people to himself. The truth of the word is always the truth. The truth of the word is always penetrating. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, to the dividing of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's the word of God that changes lives. By the Spirit of God, yes, but it's the word of God that changes lives. We just need to be sure that we're equipped to share the word, that we're prepared to share the word, that we understand the word well enough to share the truth of the gospel. It wasn't very many years ago, and I was invited to a men's breakfast at the gentleman across the road who's a Christian, a really great guy. And what led up to this was another gentleman who was at that time not a believer had come to our men's Bible study on Saturday morning, and he was homeless, and he wanted $20. I need $20. Out of fuel, I've got to get some fuel for my truck, and I just need to borrow $20. One of the guys in the Bible study gave him $20 and then invited him to come to men's breakfast on Saturday morning next week. So this guy showed up to breakfast, and we're having breakfast. There's probably 10 people around the table, and we're having breakfast together, and I'm thinking, nobody's sharing the gospel. Nobody's sharing the word. We know this gentleman came to that Bible study because he was invited. And then through the course of breakfast, and we're almost done with breakfast. I know this is a long story, but it has a point. We're almost done with breakfast. And this gentleman says, you know, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't even like people. The only reason I'm at this breakfast, I think, is because somebody invited me, and I knew I would be hungry, so I came. And nobody said anything at the table, said a word. I was sitting probably two chairs away from this gentleman. And I said, I know exactly why you're here. Why am I here? Because the Holy Spirit brought you here, because you need Jesus in your life. And he didn't blow me off. He just listened for a minute and he said, okay. And I shared the gospel with him. I shared this message that I'm talking about tonight with him. And before the end of the conversation, it's probably not long, 20 minutes or so, he prayed and asked Christ into his life. And he lives in a cabin not very far from here, across the valley, really, on the road next to us. God had prepared his heart and brought him to the place where he could accept Christ as Lord and Savior. But it takes someone to offer him the opportunity to hear the truth. And there's always an open door. There's always an open door for the gospel if we hear what people are saying. God has given us the opportunity to touch lives for Christ simply by looking for, listening for the open door, the opportunity. I don't even know why I'm here. I know exactly why you're here. It's a simple thing just to hear and then to see someone make the choice to come to Christ because he heard the truth and recognized what he needed. If we confess with our mouth, Romans 10:9, if we confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth, you know, it's not our job to save anybody. We don't save anybody. We share the truth and let the Holy Spirit do what he's going to do. If it's the first time he's heard the gospel or the seventh time he's heard the gospel, it's not our job. It's not our business. It is our business to share the truth. It is our business to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. Because whether you have a good neighbor who's a good moral person, mows his lawn, trims his trees, waters his flowers, doesn't beat his wife, doesn't yell at his wife, that person is still going to hell without Jesus. And it's not our business to save them, but it is our business to share the truth. And Paul tells us in Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do we have a responsibility to follow up with people? Yes. Do we have a responsibility to disciple people? Yes. Do we have a responsibility to help them get into church, to help them find a home church and find a body that they can connect with? Yes. All of those responsibilities are part of discipleship. But remember this, we do not save anybody. I've had people tell me, oh, I've saved three people this week. I said, well, that's too bad. It'd really be nice if Jesus saved them, because we don't save anybody. But we do have a responsibility. We do have an opportunity. You can't stop everybody on the street that you pass and say, have you met Jesus yet? You can't corner people, but you can always take advantage of the opportunity to share the truth, to see the gospel go forth. Allow the Holy Spirit to do what he's going to do, because he is faithful. He always does what he's supposed to do. And he works in our hearts and lives to bring about real change, to bring about real opportunity, to bring about real life in us. It is hard for me to actually remember exactly who I was when I came to know Christ as Lord and Savior 53 years ago. It's really hard for me to recognize who I was, because I was a person that I think most people would not really want to associate with. But Jesus changes lives, and he does it one day at a time, one moment at a time, as we go through this Christian life and apply the Word of God to our heart so that he can change us into the person he wants us to be. It's an opportunity we shouldn't miss. An opportunity we should not pass up on, because he wants us to understand the truth of the gospel. And he wants us to understand that this physical world we live in is going to go away one day. And we have to be confident that we have been born of the Spirit, that we have been truly born again. And then take that truth and share it with the people you love. share it with the people you encounter, because God will do an amazing thing and change lives. Change a person from someone who was like I was when I first came to know Christ to a person who can be of service to him at some point in his life, her life. God wants to change lives. That's why Jesus came. Behold, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. It's an amazing thought to me, but God knew ahead of time, before creation ever happened, before he ever spoke one single thing into existence, he knew that the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, was going to have to come to this planet and die an agonizing death on a cross in order to give us the opportunity to have eternal life, to have a relationship with him, to allow him to come into our lives and change us. That's how much he loves us. Do we really realize how much he loves us? He wants us to be his children, adopted children, according to Ephesians. But he loves us with an eternal love, even before the foundation of the world.
As we reflect on what it means to be born again, we are reminded that Jesus sees the heart and knows the difference between empty profession and true saving faith. Nicodemus teaches us that religion, morality, and knowledge are not enough. For unless one is born again by the sovereign work of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The new birth is God's gift, not man's achievement. And just as Israel looked to the bronze serpent and lived, so we must look to Christ lifted up on the cross, trusting him alone for eternal life. This passage calls us to humility, dependence on the Spirit, and faith in the Son of Man who was lifted up for sinners. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio, and Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ, for there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations to ensure that more have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection.